Welcome back, family. We're back after a quick family vacation, and we came back with a new mom. This week, we're introducing you to Mama Biscuit, Leslie Riley. See, this amazing entrepreneur took a recipe that had been in her family for generations and her love of cooking and has turned it into a successful business that's sure to make you reevaluate what the best biscuit you ever had was. She took time out of her busy schedule to share with her family her journey to success and some advice on how to get started in pursuing your own dream. We're so proud to welcome her to the family and glad to say that our mom's biscuits are the best. Take a listen and let us know what you think. We promise big things in the future. This is just the beginning, so stay tuned to viewfromthestoop.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and check us out on SoundCloud and YouTube for more great content coming soon. You're going to love this one, family. Let's go. Okay, welcome back, family. We have a new family member I want to introduce you to, and I'm just going to call her mom because it's very appropriate. This is my new mom, Leslie Riley, and she wants to talk to us today about her. Okay. There are biscuits, and then there are biscuits that are so good when you see the picture, you start judging your mama's biscuit. she knows she got good biscuits. She's going to be real modest about this thing, but at the end, we're going to give you the website. You're going to go look at the biscuits. You go to your mom's house, and you ask her, how come you ain't did me right my whole life?
I don't know if you'll go that far. But
what you said to your mama, that's your responsibility. Don't be telling her that I told you to do it. But you may be thinking some questions about her cooking skills when you see the website. But jump ahead. Let's introduce you and tell everybody how you got to where you are.
Okay. My name is Leslie Riley, also known as Mama Biscuit. I am the CEO and founder of Mama Biscuit's Gourmet Biscuits. And basically, started about 2014, I had the monk here of being called Ma Biscuit from friends and family, and I was auditioning for a food show, and I didn't make it the whole way through, and at that point, I had some people cheering me on and wanted to kind of keep that momentum going, so we put up a Facebook page, and, you know, and putting up the Facebook page, we were trying to find a name, and you know, it was fitting because they already called me Ma Biscuit. So it was fitting just to change it to Mama Biscuit. And from there, I dipped and dabbed a little bit in gourmet butters and then, you know, looked at the market and saw that there wasn't a really good biscuit out there or a biscuit, you know, that was, you know, for national brands, you know, that was a clean biscuit that people were looking for. So, I was able to hit grandma's cookbook and, you know, take a little bit from her cookbook, put a little bit of my own twist to it and came up with the perfect biscuit.
Now you said you went into grandma's cookbook. Please tell everybody how old this recipe is because I think they'll be astounded.
The recipe dates back to 1887. So the actual cookbook is a handwritten cookbook, and it goes back. I think my mom had told me it goes back to great 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 grandparents. So about 1850s, somewhere around in there.
Mm-hmm. Did you tweak it at all?
It's 127 year old. So it's 127 year old recipe.
Did you touch it or you just knew that this was what it was? I should not be messing around with greatness.
No, I tested it. And the first time I tested it, it didn't come out very well. So, and we were actually doing a photo shoot when I tested it. And I don't know, I never made them from her recipe book before. And you know, just to backtrack a little bit, I used to own a restaurant. So I'm a former restaurateur. And, that was about 10 years ago. I owned a restaurant in North Carolina, and we made sweet potato biscuits. So I had no problem, comfortable, you know, in the kitchen making biscuits, no problem at all. But when I was trying to find the perfect biscuit and went into grandma's recipe book and just, you know, tried to make the biscuit, I don't know, I missed something. I didn't do something right. And, you know, my friends, we were doing a photo shoot. They were throwing them around, calling them hockey pucks and all that stuff.
Then that's not a good sign.
Terrible. And I actually called one of my friends. please stop by and go get some Popeyes biscuits. So you'll see there's a picture on my website where I'm putting biscuits in the oven, and they're not mine. So I'm not going to tell you where it's at, but it's on the website. And we're laughing because I was a big laugh because somebody yelled, "They're not your biscuits." And then I was like, "I know." And so they reamed me for a week about not being able to make the perfect biscuit. I was like, "I know how to make biscuits, you know." Mm. So that's when I pulled Grandma's book out again and, you know, just tweaked it a little bit and came up with the perfect recipe.
So, okay, I want to back up just a little bit. When did you discover that you loved cooking?
I always knew that I loved cooking. What happened was, I think I was a Girl Scout. I was probably, I think my mom said about 7, 8 years old. And I can remember this, that she took me, I had to come up with a recipe or something. And she took me to the library and I was looking at a recipe book and I checked it out. And I went home and made this dip and I took it to the event and everybody loved it. And at that point, it was just such a good feeling that people love something that I made. And then, like I said, I was always at my grandma's house because she lived like literally down the street. Mm-hmm. And I would always watch her cook. I was always there because my parents worked. My grandparents watched me during the day. So I would say probably I had a love for it since I was 7.
And then you opened your restaurant at what age?
I opened my restaurant, I was 33.
Okay. And from there, how long was it before you were like, "I'm Mama Biscuit"?
Oh, gosh. I opened my restaurant at 30. That was 2000. Mm-hmm. So maybe, 17 years later?
But there's something to be said for finding your lane. And I think that not only have you found your lane, but you're killing it. And I think a lot of people don't understand that overnight successes aren't overnight.
No, they're absolutely not. And I think, you know, the facade, we're in an era of where we have social media now and everything looks great on social media. And everybody's saying, "Hey, you can make $1 million, this, you can do that." It's not the case. I mean, I've been in this game for 4 years. I mean, I've had the business for 4 years. And yeah, you know, I got the account the first year or two, but you know, you don't always land on the shelves right away. There's, you know, there's processes in place. There's resets. And, you know, when even the Walmart deal, I got that in 2017. And here we did fast forward. I landed on the shelves in 2018. So, you know, a lot of people think that I had this instant success that I landed on these, you know, shelves like all of a sudden, but that was not the case. This has been over a period of 4 years.
Speaking of the Walmart deal, everything I see on the website, I can find at Walmart or Wegmans?
Absolutely not. everything on the website, you can find on the website. So what happens in your manufacturing and in retail, your ticket to retail is you usually pick a couple flavors that aren't as exotic, should say, so that's better for the consumer and their budget. So you will see our cinnamon vanilla cream. And we didn't, you know, take any of the ingredients or anything. We didn't change anything. We just gave you a more basic biscuit. I mean, still, you know, gourmet, but a little more basic. And excuse me, you can find the cinnamon vanilla cream and the blueberry lemon, and the plain in Walmart, Sam's, and soon to be Costco.
See, I asked that question because if you go to the website, there is a red velvet biscuit with amaretto in it. And I was just trying to figure out the fastest way to get to that biscuit.
You know, everybody keeps asking me if I have that one available, and I tell them no, because that actually is one of our seasonal. It's out during the holidays. It is out during December, and it's out the first 2 weeks of February. So what happens is we have over 50 different flavors, but they are rotational flavors based off these seasons.
All I need to know is when I need to be there, what time it's open, how do I find it, and then I'll do the rest. Don't worry.
And a lot of people have the misunderstanding that we are a brick and mortar, that we're a store. We are a manufacturing facility only. We only make all the biscuits in our facility, and you can either find them in the stores or at our store online, and that's it. You cannot come to our plant and pick up the biscuits. You can't do that.
What if I ask for them directly to your
door? Yeah, we'll ship them directly to your door.
Okay, I'll give you my address offline. Okay. And...
fair enough. Fair enough. I have to, because I've had quite a few requests for the red velvet. You know, I know some people have some stuff in their wish list and stuff like that. So, you know, I will open up this week. I think the pineapple banana rum upside down. It will be released this week, and the bacon cheddar jalapeno.
What's your favorite one?
Everyone asked me that. My favorite one is probably the cranberry cherry. And that, I have a cranberry cherry during the holidays, Christmas. And then I also have a cherry blossom that comes out around cherry blossom. So around, you know, March, April. So I think anything cherry is my favorite.
I want to switch directions a little bit. Let's talk about entrepreneurship, because you've been an entrepreneur. Seems like your whole life. Where do you start? Like, a lot of people want to have their own business. A lot of people want to be successful. A lot of people want to be on the shelves of Walmart and Wegman. That doesn't happen to someone who hasn't put in the hard work to lay the steps, the bricks in place, so to speak, for when they come knocking. Where did you start?
You know, you have to start where, of course, where your passion. So you have to love, because, you know, I don't always love going in and getting flour on me, you know, every day. But the thing is, I still hold a full-time job, and a lot of people don't realize that I still have a full-time job during the day. I work a 9-to-5. So entrepreneurship will start in regards to how dedicated you are. I was dedicated enough to get up early in the morning, go to, at the time we were in a shared bakery space, so I built this one out, and then go to the bakery, bake, get myself together, and go to my job. And I worked there 9-to-5, and then I went back to the bakery up until like sometimes 10, 11 o'clock, and my day started all over again. I was up back at 5 o'clock and back out the door again. So, you know, I wasn't able to do, as an entrepreneur, you're not going to always be able to go to this party or be when you're invited somewhere to the movies or to dinner. You're not always going to be able to attend those events. A lot of people think that, you know, entrepreneurship, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, that, you know, a lot of people will be there in your corner. It is a lonely journey. And I'm just being real with people. People don't realize that friends will go away, family will go away, and you will be left there to continue operating your business. I was fortunate enough to have good people around me, but there are lonely times where, you know, I may need help for something and I can't always reach out and grab that person to help me because they're doing something else. So you just have to be, number one, resourceful and figure out, how am I going to start that business? I'm going to work my day job. I'm going to moonlight this on the weekends and nights. And that's pretty much what I did. And I was able to actually build a brand. So, again, I just go back to, how committed are you to doing this and growing this business? It's not going to happen the first year. It's not going to happen overnight. It may not happen the second year. The third year, you may start seeing some traction. And the fourth year, you may shake your head and say, you know what? I got this.
I think that the struggle for a lot of people, and it's easy to say the struggle is that they don't want to put in the work. That's the obvious one. But I think the struggle is as well finding the thing and deciding, okay, my passion is, I'm able to monetize it. Sometimes you can't make your passion into a business. What would you say to someone who's unsure as to whether or not what they have is more than a hobby?
You know, I think a lot of people's, a lot of businesses start off as hobbies. You know, I remember going to my local score office and him telling me, well, yeah, that's just a hobby. And I was like, okay, well, you know, you have to nurture your hobby and, you know, just like it's like your baby. You're invested in it. You know, you have to nurture it and grow it to get it to become more than just a hobby. And a lot of businesses, you know, will start off as hobbies, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think gone are the days where people are telling you, you know, we hear on the shows like the Shark Tanks and stuff like that, oh, it's just a hobby. Well, eventually it may become a business. It may not become a business the first 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think there's a big, you know, misconception about what it is to be an entrepreneur because we watch these shows and think people are going to be, you know, millionaires overnight, and that's not the case. So,
what's next for you?
Next steps. Well, I did start a line, and what happens in businesses, you'll learn how to do, you know, line extensions. And so based off of my biscuit recipes, I've actually started a cobbler line called Comfort Cobblers. And they will actually be featured on QVC. I'll be in the kitchen with David, and you could catch me. It will be featuring our Comfort Cobblers.
All right. I'm going to need you to add that to my order as well.
All right, we have over 10 different flavors of Comfort Cobblers.
All of them.
Not a problem, not a problem. So that's next. And we're just going to keep creating things and, you know, we'll kind of see where we land.
Mm-hmm. Where can people find you?
They can find us at www.mamabiscuit.com. That's MAMABISCUIT.com.
And you have an Instagram as well where we can see the biscuits.
Yes, if they actually, you can go to the website and then you can click on any one of the icons. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, you name it.
Look, I just want to say thank you for taking the time out. It's really inspirational. What you're doing. It's also going to mess up my waistline, but you know, there are trade-offs in life. I'll be honest.
Hey, everything's good in moderation, you know?
Oh no, we wasn't going to do moderation. It's going down. I'll be honest. I told her that her biscuits may look better than my mom's, and I'm going to have to answer for that. I already know, but it's true.
Yes, you are. Well, thank you. That's a compliment. Thank you.
Please check her out. Check out. I love the savory pot pie one too. I might have been on the website for too long today. I'm just going to say that. But they look so good that yeah, I'm plotting.
Thank you. We'll make sure you're taken care of for sure.
Y'all thank heard that, so we're going to hold her to it.
We will.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Mama Biscuit, and we look forward to everything she's got coming up in the future. Check her out on her website and on social media, and let us know what you think. We do everything for you, family, and we'd be nothing without you. So until next time, love.